Welcome to The Marketect, a podcast series where leadership and product marketing intersect. The Marketect is for and about the world's best product marketing leaders and the chief marketing officers that own the function. Each episode, powered by Pavilion, helps you unlock your professional potential by featuring experts who will share how they build impactful teams and optimize their go-to-market execution. Welcome and enjoy the show.
Welcome to The Marketect, a podcast series where leadership and product marketing intersect. The Marketect is for and about the world's best product marketing leaders and the chief marketing officers that own the function. And my God, talk about some of the best marketing minds in the business. We have two on the show here today. These are two marketing tech experts for sure, but they're really good at one thing as well, which is go to market. And so to better understand just what separates winning companies from less successful ones, you need not turn to nothing more than just their go to market strategy, if they have one, and how they execute on that. And, you know, creating a product, it's easy. It's easy enough, especially with all the tech available, the resources available today. But building a great company and culture, and then having the discipline to take a product to market, is vastly more challenging. And I use the word discipline there on purpose, because the key to successfully conquering the challenge of bringing a product to market and sustainably growing is go-to-market. More precisely, a high-performing go-to-market team and disciplined process. And so who better to bring this topic to life than two people? Karen Steele, Chief Marketing Officer from Sendoso, who happened to start her career at the company that maybe invented tech marketing, or at least did it better than anyone else. We'll get to that in a second. And Sangram, founder of Go to Market Partners, founder of the Peak Community, founder of Terminus. I'm sure there's more, but my God, just those three are enough to share. Welcome, Karen. Welcome, Sangram.
Well, I'm super excited, man. Let's get going on this one. And having here with you and Karen, who have done so much more, like, I can't wait to dig in and learn more.
Love it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the invitation. I'm also thrilled to be here and look forward to the conversation.
Thank you, Karen. So Karen, Sangram has done this before, your first time on the show. Before we get to the nitty-gritty of go-to-market, indulge me, if you will, by answering or filling the blanks for two fill in the blanks. The first one, Karen, we'll start with you. I am in marketing because...
I'm in marketing because I love customers, I love winning, and I love having a brand impact in the market. And maybe to unveil your earlier comment about which company I started at Apple in the early days. So I grew up learning from, I think, the best marketing company in the world in the 80s. That's where I got my roots, and understanding the concept of creating a brand promise and living that brand promise through your customers every single day made me fall in love with marketing, every aspect of marketing. And then the winning aspect is just competing and being out there and, you know, just fighting for the market every single day. You've got the right product market fit. And that's why I love marketing, why I'm in marketing.
Love it. And Sangram, I'm gonna tweak this one for you.
Okay.
I am the go-to-market expert, the go-to-market guru. I am all focused, all in on go-to-market because...
Well, go-to-market can change the world. As you said it before, there are incredible CEOs, there are incredible leaders out there that have great products that will never, ever see the light of day. They would never be on a shelf somewhere. They would never actually be out of a coffee shop conversation because they didn't figure out how to go to market, how to get that product out there in the hands of the right people, so they will spread from there. It is the bane of most companies' challenges is go to market. So you really have the power to change the world if you do it right.
Love it. And if go to market is the bane of all these companies, we have the Batman on the show for the solution. So Sangram Batman Varji, you're the first. My definition of leadership is, Karen?
My definition of leadership is it starts with transparency and openness, which, of course, it has everything to do with how you communicate to your teams, both internally and externally. It is about collaboration, and it's also about development. So I'm a big believer that leaders develop new leaders every single day. You're having an impact or an impression on future leaders. And so being cognizant of that development opportunity, making that investment in existing teams, but recognizing that even outside your existing team, you're developing future leaders. So that's what I think about leadership.
A lot of development, collaboration, openness, transparency. Sangram, your definition of leadership is?
I give one word, intentional. I think you've probably heard me say this before. Being intentional is way more important than being brilliant. I've been too far thinking of myself as brilliant and learned the hard way that it's far better to be intentional than be the most brilliant person in the room. It doesn't really do much when it comes to outcomes.
I love it. Okay, now let's get to it. Go to market. Karen, we'll start with you. VMware, Informatica, Apple, Next, so many companies that, you know, the brilliant companies that you've been at. I'm sure they've had their trials and their tribulations. If you can, and you've been at them in different maturity stages, which is, you know, there's lots to glean from that. Can you share some telltale signs that a company's go-to-market is broken? We don't have to name names here, but in your experience overall, what are the telltale signs that a company's go-to-market is broken?
Yeah, that's such a fun, great question. So I think it's some of the larger companies that you've mentioned. I think SaaS has taken on some different characteristics, but there's a phenomenon that I always call big S, little M. So sales ruled the roost and marketing was almost an afterthought. We were almost subservient to sales. That in my mind, it for fast growing SaaS companies that I've worked with and for over the last 15 years is really not the case. I think that the SaaS market and the dynamics in the SaaS market helped open up the and sort of level the playing field for what go-to-market really is. I think in the legacy businesses that I used to be at, larger companies, sales was very separate and marketing was very separate. And customer success, it wasn't even really a concept. It was support and it was sort of off in the distance. And I think in the universe that I've lived in for the last 15 years, and I know Sangram can speak to this well too, this concept of go-to-market is very connected. It's sales, marketing, customer success, and product sitting at the same table and designing strategies to win, not just for pipeline, but to win, to hit your revenue number for the business, to create the best NRR, net retention rate you can, customer satisfaction, however you net promoter score, however you measure it. But there's a set of common goals that are usually corporate goals that a really strong go-to-market team focuses on. So they're not just pipeline, they're not just revenue. The customer is at the center of all those conversations, expansion, upsell, cross-sell, renewals, all those wonderful things that we all care about. So the failures that I've seen in GTM are when those parts are disconnected. And if product, by the way, because I know you have a product marketing audience, doesn't have a seat at that go-to-market table, that's a problem. Sangram has a great presentation on this too, where he talks about it's not a sales problem. It's not a marketing problem. It's not a product problem. It's a go-to-market problem, because if you don't have that connected tissue between all those teams, you will fail. But I know Sangram has a lot to say on this. So,
well, great segue. And Sangram, let's set the record straight. What is go-to-market?
Well, it is, I think, a lot echoed, but we've been working a lot with Sendoso in the past few months. And I think what has been interesting to see, just talking about what good companies do better out there, is recognizing where the market is moving and then making sure that they have a clear point of view. Mm-hmm. So, for example, Sendoso now, like using like Karen's, because if we just know a little bit more about them as part of the work, they're a direct marketing automation platform, right? That's a platform out there, not something that they just send gifts. They actually do a full on direct marketing. And when you start thinking about that, now you have an opportunity to get people to think about this in a much different way, in a bigger way. Look at this not just as an acquisition thing, but as Karen mentioned, for your pipeline velocity, for your expansion process. So long part of where people have drawn this out and tried to make it only a departmental issue. It is not. Every single company that we're working with right now, here's their number one challenge. They think that they have too much technology and they're not even using half of it right. So when you go and say, well, I have another thing that I want to do, they're like, well, no, I'm already overwhelmed. So the more companies can say, no, we actually check more than one box. We actually help you across the buyer journey. The better your platform outlines all those things, the better it's going to be for them, especially for 2023.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and Rowan, can I add one comment? Because Stangram prompted me a little bit because you also sort of kicked this off talking about team and discipline. The discipline piece I didn't talk about. So I talked about sales, marketing, CX or CS, and product. But the foundational piece to that that I neglected to mention, which is critical, is revenue operations.
Yes.
And revenue operations is critical because it's not just the data. It's about the data and the process and everything that goes behind all the technology, what Stangram said about all the investments you've made in technology and the integrations and making that all work together. So you can see how your go-to-market is translating to real outcomes. So revenue ops sits at the table too. So we host one strategy weekly meeting, which is our head of sales, myself, our head of CX, our head of product, and our head of revenue ops. And it's the five of us that come together to design strategy. And then of course it's everybody else on the team that goes and executes those strategies. But revenue ops is critical. Data, processes, people, technology.
Ah, love it. And so there's a lot really to unpack to get go-to-market right. You mentioned quite a few stakeholders. Who, Stangram, I'm going to turn to you and then Karen, I'd love your thoughts on this. Stangram, who do you believe is accountable? Like who should own go-to-market at a company?
That's a layup question for me, for sure. Having done the book and done all the research, I'll tell you, this is something I have not really shared much in any other episodes. I was blatantly wrong about my understanding of the breadth of go-to-market and also the ownership of go-to-market. So so that might help people think where I'm going to go with the answer. But initially, I thought go-to-market was, I've done it. I was at Salesforce. I was at Pardot. I was at Terminus. Like, so I was like, I think I kind of know. I got a chip on my shoulder. I think I know what go-to-market is. The reality is I had no clue because I was only looking at from my role perspective. Mm. And I thought, oh, yeah, just launching a new product. That's go-to-market. And now being a CEO of a company, now that being a founder and having done the research for the book, found out when we talked to the CEOs across the board, they're like, guess what go-to-market is? Are you going to open a market and go sell in EMEA versus North America? That's a go-to-market decision. Are you going to go in PLG versus enterprise? That's a go-to-market decision. Are you going to go and get agency partners as opposed to hiring salespeople on your team? That's a go-to-market decision. So now when you start framing, oh my gosh, go-to-market is not about product launch or getting something to the market. Go-to-market is how you run your business. Then you ask the question, well, who owns that? And I think that probably when my mind was blown, I'm like, well, every single CEO out there is like, well, they own go-to-market without blinking the eye. And part of marketing's role, part of best marketers that I'm seeing right now, they facilitate that conversation mm-hmm. because they are the most strategic people in the room to understand how to navigate all of it. So the best marketing leaders are facilitating the go-to-market conversation, but ultimately, in every part of the research I've done, the CEO has to own it, like it or not, want it or not, that's what's happening.
And Ken, I'm going to get back to you in a second here. Stangram, if the CEO owns it, the CMO, the CRO, Karen brought up RevOps, rightfully so, the Chief Customer Officer, CXO, whatever they're called, Customer Success Officer, what are the roles of all these other folks?
We laid it out in the book a lot more around this. So we look at the CRO more of the orchestrator. They're really saying, well, and if they're the right CRO, meaning they have customer success, they actually have the revenue number, not just the sales number. So they're mm-hmm. orchestrating some of it, right? Your CMO is really the evangelist of making sure all of these things are getting done, because I keep saying they are the most strategic person. That's the most strategic person you can actually have on the team, because they're not just looking at day in and day out and clocking in and seeing the deals. They're looking at it, what will drive the business forward. So, and a lot of times I would say the VC should stay outside the game, because this VC should just guide, maybe show some patterns, but not jump in and tell what to do. That's when it goes really horribly wrong, because they're doing pattern recognition and every business is a little bit different. And especially right now in 2023, we better try more than one go-to-market motions. We better change the game. And you can't really look at an Excel spreadsheet and drive that. So a lot has been changed for every one of these roles right now.
And so, Karen, if the CEO is accountable and owns it, the CRO, Sangram said, is the orchestrator, CMO is the evangelist. And do you agree, disagree? How are you driving go-to-market and or playing a role in go-to-market in your company now or even in the future? In the past.
Yeah, I agree with everything Sangram said. And obviously, I'm familiar with the book. You know, I think there are certain companies where ultimately it's going to roll up to a CEO. But I also think if you have a strong COO in our company, for example, it's our president COO who ultimately will make the decisions. I mean, the executive team will sit together, but it is one sort of executive leader where it's the job of this strategy team, the go-to-market strategy team, with all the pieces that I mentioned, sales, marketing, CX, product, revenue ops, that have to put those business cases and strategic recommendations on the table every single day, you know, based on how the company wants to pivot, how the company wants to respond to competitive pressure, how the company wants to price in the market, how, you know, these are all decisions that are not made on the fly. For people that think that's easy, it's not. Even if you're at a smaller stage company, these are really important decisions that have consequences. So I do believe it rolls up to a CEO or a COO. And I think all those voices and like the weekly meeting we do with our GTM leaders, which are all the people I mentioned, we come out with a set of, you know, recommendations and strategy decisions that we pose to the exec team. And ultimately, you know, the team makes the decision. I mean, I don't know many CEOs these days that sit on an island and just make decisions on their own. They rely on their executive teams to do that. But that is really fundamentally what it's all about.
I love the interlock amongst your go-to-market leaders on a weekly basis. That's absolutely fantastic. So in addition to being CMO at Sendoso, you consult, advise many successful companies and have been at many successful companies in the past, different sizes, different stages. You know, Sangram touched on that there's no one-size-fits-all approach to go-to-market. It's depending on your maturity state. How should organizations approach go-to-market?
Yeah, so I think, you know, I came into Sendoso and not unlike a lot of fast growth companies, we had some turnover and change and we had a relatively new go-to-market leadership team. So the first thing I did was put together, you know, that strategy session to bring us all together, which I think is that's sort of step number one, is just get everybody bought into the charter of it. But every company is organized differently and has, you know, they're at different levels of maturity. When I was, for example, at a company like Informatica, and I'm sure you've seen this, you know, in all the product marketing stuff you've done over the years, our product marketing team sat in product development. So they were completely different. They were not part of the marketing team. They reported up to product development. And so we had to create a go-to-market strategy and team that was inclusive of that and brought them into the fold, because it was never intended that product be separate, but that's just the way they ran the business. And that's true in certain larger companies. When I was at VMware, all of the product leadership on the product marketing side sat in 8 different business units. So it's a harder job because your go-to-market involves all of those business units. It involves all of your geo leaders in the regions. Mm-hmm. And you've got to figure out a way to bring everybody together so you can create that singular strategy and set of decisions that you're going to make as a team. So smaller companies, it might be a little more obvious, easier to create those strategy teams and get the decisions, you know, turned quickly and But in larger companies, it takes a little more navigating. So I've seen many different flavors, but generally speaking, you know, if you have the buy-in from the top, as Sangram said, where the CEO or COO is asking the team to put together the right plans and recommendations, and you can figure out a way to bring those people together. I do think all of the voices are important, but I think when it comes to, you know, fundamental decisions about pipeline and revenue, it's usually more closely tied to sales and marketing. And so those are probably two of the stronger voices that get heard in these conversations. But it's so critical to have all of the other voices that I mentioned, CX and product and revenue ops is sort of the glue that gives you all the evidence and all the analytics that you need to make these decisions. But product is critical too. We recently made a decision to put our first PLG product to market. And we did that with evidence from the analytics of what we were hearing from both current customers and future customers that wanted to see either a trial offering or some kind of a free service. And it was designed to be pretty experimental in the beginning. We launched it right before the holidays, but we could not have launched that product or had the evidence to launch that product without the buy-in from sales, because we didn't want it to erode any low-end business. We're going up market, but we still have a fair amount that comes in from the SMB side. Mm-hmm. We wanted a solution for SMB. And then we wanted options for other people that just wanted to kind of give it a test drive. So the strategy around that product, and I think the success around that product, which has been kind of absurd, I think we have 500 users or companies that are in the SMB space that are using this product today, and we've barely marketed it. But all of those decisions on how we do it, how we look at conversion strategy going forward, for those that have adopted from more the high-end market that maybe were lost deals in our mid-market or enterprise segment, how do we convert them to paying? All those things, those conversations all happen with this go-to-market team. You know, to Sangram's point, which is like, this is such an important dynamic to have inside your company. And again, companies operate differently depending on their level of maturity and size. So I've been at a lot of the larger companies, as I said, have, I wouldn't necessarily call it politics, but more bureaucracy if you're dealing with 5 geos and 8 business units and, you know, sales and marketing, you know, and data people supporting all that stuff. You've just got to figure out a balance that works and make it a priority.
I love everything you just said, and you hammered home the point that go-to-market is not launch. Your go-to-market strategy dictates what you should launch, why you should launch it, to who you should launch it. Launch requires go-to-market as an input, and go-to-market is the primer for everything you do as an organization. To that end, and before we get to Sangram's framework, I would love for Sangram to go through your framework as to how folks should even, you know, craft their go-to-market process and how they should approach it. Let's start from, you know, from the end. What does success look like for organizations that implement a brilliant go-to-market? How are you measuring success of go-to-market? And I guess it depends is probably going to be your starting point.
I mean, I'd say, well, first of all, our research showed that most successful companies are using at least 3, if not 4, go-to-market motions. Again, that was a shocker to me because that's not how I thought about the world 5 years ago. 5 years ago, I thought, well, inbound and outbound, like ABM, like that's it. Like that's part of what you did. The funnels and every framework out there was pretty much dotted and crossed and everything for that specific purpose that created that process. And now, Karen just mentioned, they just rolled out a PLG. That is a different motion altogether. And they have to do that because you have to test new go-to-market motions in the marketplace because the behavior of the consumers are changing. Well, not only that, think about community-based growth, right? Like community-led growth is a real thing. But if you try to fit that into the old funnel, then it's going to be looking at the community people as leads, and that's not going to work for you. So you got to figure out, well, what is the new way to look at it? So Think about event-led growth. Like we have been doing roadshow and going out. Like Ron, you know, we started with the roadshow in Seattle with you and SF, and now we're back and continue to do it. And that's a growth motion. That is a completely go-to-market motion. If you do it right, your customers, your future customers, and your partners, everybody will be at that particular event. And if you create a great experience, you will not only keep your existing customers, who are actually sell to even more future customers. So that's a go-to-market motion. So the number one thing from a depends answer perspective is that get ready. If you're only doing one or two standard go-to-market motions, you are failing way behind the curve. You need to be doing at least three or four. That's what our research shows. And then the final point that made me think about where do people go and the framework when we get into it, here is one thing that we have been doing more and more with our customers. It's been like the most fun is this idea around market investment map. Most companies don't do that. Most companies would have three or four products and then say, well, and then we have a three or four personas and they're sending the same message to everyone. And as Karen just alluded, you get an SMB persona that is probably very fine-tuned for the PLG level thing. But if she sends the same exact message to enterprise, that will not connect with them. You need to send a different message. They might be interested in PLG, but a different message to that. So your market investment map really needs to be a big part of that strategy process that dictates which go-to-market motion you need to have. So I get super excited about in 2023 as companies starting to think about it. It is going to stretch all of us. It is going to, a lot of us are going to think like I do right now, where I feel like I knew what I knew and I don't know what I don't know right now. And I'm learning and knowing. And if everybody can have their learner's mindset, beginner's mindset again, I think we're going to come out of this year feeling and knowing and learning and doing things that we never thought we would be doing right now in the world, because it's the market has changed so much.
I love it.
Let's and just a couple comments. And I know we want to get to Sangram's model here, but and I know this is not a new concept, but I think internally at Sendoso, we have our mindsets. You know, marketing still owns inbound and sales owns outbound. We have SDR and BDR teams, but we're really now calling it all bound. And I think that's a common concept that everybody's talking about, which also means that when we have both inbound and outbound things coming in, they all get followed up by the same teams because everybody's looking at it in the same way. They're all good for the business. We've got to make sure we're proactive and responsive, et cetera. Sangram mentioned ABM. That for us is our enterprise, one of our key enterprise plays. CX has their own enterprise plays. I have a dedicated customer lifecycle marketer who runs campaigns for expansion and growth within existing customers to assist with renewals, et cetera. We talked about PLG. For us, PLG is focused on SMB, but I would say we're getting enterprise traction too for deals that didn't have budget or weren't ready to buy. And so again, you don't want to ever let PLG cannibalize potential sales. You've got to figure out how to make it work across all your motions. And the only piece that wasn't mentioned that I think is a critical go-to-market motion, Sangram mentioned community, but partners.
Oh yeah.
The amount of partner influence that we in a MarTech ecosystem, which is the world we live in, you know, it's huge. So the amount of potential that partners can bring to the table that enhance your go-to-market strategy is critical. So working closely with your biz dev team. Now, does our biz dev team sit specifically on our go-to-market strategy team? Not necessarily, but they're clearly an important role that we pull in, you know, for a lot of the decisions and investments that we're going to make regarding partners. So that would be the only thing I add to.
Yeah, no, I can't forget partners, especially in B2B. You covered the routes to market, the goals to market. Sangram, can you bring this all home with a simple framework that folks can crystallize as they come Monday morning and say, well, how do we start?
Yeah, happy to. And Sendoso has been really kind and they have bought a number of copies of the book. So, you know, I would just go ahead and send like the five people or so, the first five people or so, who DM me and send me on LinkedIn saying, this is what I got out of it, out of this conversation, I'll have, you know, if Shindosa is okay, like, Karen, you're okay with it, we'll ship those five people a copy of the book, because I think it's been a fun thing seeing this fly off. And the framework is really simple, and that's the name of the book as well, MOVE, which is Market, Operations, Velocity, and Expansion. And market is about who should you market to? And that's where we get into TAM is not what people should think about. TAM is great for investors, how big the market is. So when you raise money, you can say, we have a $5 billion marketplace. But the best companies focus on TRM, total relevant market. Who is my relevant market I need to sell this year to make the number? And those companies are focused, intentional. So market, the operations, I think, what do you need to operate effectively? I think Karen has touched beautifully on it. The RevOps is the glue where everybody becomes a business leader specialized in their own function with a RevOps team, because RevOps team tells what's going on. And now I don't need to go and defend as a CMO or a CRO, anything. I need to come in there as a business leader to say, well, how can I help? How can I move the business forward? Velocity, this is the common question we all get, is when can we scale the business? How many times you have already heard on Monday morning from somebody that, hey, we need to scale this program, scale this business. So it's really the ramps that companies need to think about. How do you get a marketer to create more demand? How do you get an SDR to create more deals? How do you get AEs to close more deals? How do you get CS to make sure that the ratios of how they're working on stays and expands? So these ramps are really, really important. And we do tremendous workshops on those. And the last one, this one came, the E for expansion, which is where can we grow the most? Where can we grow the most? This is literally what Karen was talking about, why they're doing PLG. Why they don't have to do it, but in a way, they absolutely have to do it, because they have to find and stretch and figure out where should they grow the most. If this works, then we would start growing in a new segment that wasn't really the primary thing that they thought about last year. You can't wait for a new year planning for that. You got to test and see what happens, what changes. So the framework is quite simple. And here's the beauty of this, what I've learned in the last 3 years of just book and doing these events and conversations is, no matter what stage of the business you're in, I found that these questions are the same, but the answers are different. In the early stage, your ops question, operations would be like, I just need a finance guy or like marketing ops to do it. You grow, now you learn the question is the same. How do you operate effectively? Now you need RevOps. So now so as a company matures, your answer might change, but the questions remain the same. And that has been a beautiful journey for me.
Love it. So with the MOVE framework in hand, and I love the simplicity of that, MOVE. Karen, can you help your fellow CMOs and marketing teams understand their specific role in moving, excuse the pun, the company's go-to-market along? What should your fellow CMOs and their teams, including product marketers, do to move their company's go-to-market along?
It's a great question. I also love the MOVE acronym, what it stands for. And I wholeheartedly agree. I think the understanding of the market, which is not just category, but it's also geography. Where are we gonna spend our money? Where are we gonna get the most impact? Where do we need to generate revenue and pipe? You know, having all aspects of your market defined really, really clearly, operations, having, as I said, a strong, even at small companies, and I've been at many smaller, you know, fast growing companies that have revenue ops, because they understand with the investment that we make in technology that we need to have the data. First of all, if you don't have your data house in order as a marketer, you better get your data house in order as a marketer, because that's job number one, whether you're doing a simple ABM campaign or whether you're looking at geographic expansion, you have to have the data. That's where RevOps or sales ops, marketing ops, you know, comes into play. Velocity is so key. These are all the expansion pieces of the business. This is, you know, again, I walked into to Shindosa when there was an idea of a PLG kind of like in the background on the table, but they were just sort of going to launch it in a quiet way. And I went, why, if you're going to invest the time and energy to launch a freemium product, why wouldn't you just go for it? You know, you don't have to go spend a lot of money, but You know, having, when you talk about velocity plays, whether they're competitive campaigns or bringing new products to market or launching in new geographies or whatever they are, you've got to be looking at the end game. Like, what do you really hope to accomplish and how is it going to grow your business and at the end of the day, support your corporate goals? So that's super critical. And then, when I also think about, I mentioned customer lifecycle marketing, when I think about the expansion play, but it kind of ties up to all of the move elements, just being super close to the customer. Like as a marketer today, if you aren't doing like the best job at customer lifecycle marketing, because that impacts everything, touching the entire part of that journey from advocacy to advisory to adoption, I call it the AAA. Advocacy, advisory, adoption to get to the end game, which is keeping those customers for life, getting more out of those customers, utilize those customers to be mouthpieces and thought leaders to tell your story. I mean, that to me is part of the expansion piece too, which is just helping your customers be your sellers, helping your customers be your thought leaders. So customer marketing to me, in the world of NRR and, you know, retention being probably in most companies right now, more important than even new logo acquisition, I think customer marketing, lifecycle marketing is more critical than ever.
Brilliant. We only have a couple of questions left here and I want to get to them and we're running out of time. I could spend so many hours with you both on this topic. Sangram, it's Monday morning. CEO, CRO, CMOs, they've listened to this podcast and they understand that they have a go-to-market problem, not a product problem or a sales problem or a marketing problem, to borrow from your lovely quote there. What can they do come Monday morning to supercharge the go-to-market strategy? Let's make it real.
Yeah, I think we can put this, I don't know if you can put this in the show notes, but we can create, we have this. The research came out with 15 reasons why your go-to-market is broken. And it's literally lays it out. And I think if we are really honest about ourselves, we would realize that we all have go-to-market problems. That's not the problem. That is not the problem that we got go-to-market problem. The problem is we don't know which problem is the most important one that dragging us down. And we are not prioritizing the right problems to fix as a team. That's really the crux of the situation. So there are all these 15 problems that we can share. Like some of that is that we are being reactive, not proactive. Some of it is that we can't forecast for the next few months. And that's what's making everybody edgy on every single call. Some of it is that the alignment between sales, marketing, CS, and product is not there. So we laid out those 15 go-to-market problems. And every single company that we did this assessment with, they will identify at least three at any given time as a number, like that's the reason why they're having all these issues. And as soon as you say that, it's like a relief. It's like a therapy. Okay, now we know what the problem is. Let's go solve it. So Monday morning, if you're bringing your team together, don't point fingers. Don't say everybody's right, wrong, or whatever. Just as a group, identify where everybody feels the problem is and start prioritizing it and attacking each one of these problems together as a group. That's something that I think is one of the best things we can do moving forward.
Love it. And we will include that in the show notes. So understand the problem, really understand of these 15, which are top of mind, which are really causing the most amount of pain. And then use the MOVE framework to get organized, put the right teams in place, get our discipline process in place. I love it. Karen, we're going to do two lightning round questions to end this. You and Sangram, we'll start with you. What do you wish product marketing teams would stop doing in 2023?
I wish product marketing teams would not obsess on competitive intelligence, instead focus on go-to-market strategy and value. We have to pay attention to competitors, but I think sometimes we get too obsessed with competitors. And I've seen that happen in multiple organizations. And I I think one of the biggest value points today for product marketing teams is to be the best sales enablers. And I'd rather have them focus more on that to improve, you know, win rates as opposed to generate a whole bunch of new customer intelligence. I mean, there's a lot of data out there. We can all do our own research on the competition, but I think the end game right now for product marketers is coming up with, of course, new product strategies around, you know, things like PLG, et cetera, but more importantly, enabling sales and improving win rates.
Brilliant. Sangram, what do you wish PMMs would stop doing in 2023.
Not a whole lot of content, really. They don't need to create more content for it, because there's not a single sales rep person ever would say, oh, I got enough, I don't need more. Everybody wants more. But really, if I would flip it and say, what they really need to do is do ROI, like actual ROI that customers could understand, the sales team can actually use it in a way where it's in their first call deck and they can talk through that. I even say not just that, but we are starting to see companies do ROI with their customers. So helping your customers figure out how to show ROI of your product, something that most companies don't even go further down. So you're like, hey, can you come speak to this event? And they would come speak, but they're not really doing a great job of showing the ROI to the depth. So we are starting to help a lot of companies like, well, let us help your five companies that are really, really good and help them tell your story better than anybody else. That's really what the salespeople need to close more deals, not another data sheet.
Love it. Show them that the value that the customer can realize is going to produce this ROI that you're talking about. I love it. Last question. All right, Karen and then Sangram. How can product marketers be perceived as architects of growth? Karen, by the way, this show, Marketechs, is Marketechs, marketing folks that are architects of growth. Boom, Marketechs. So how can product marketers be perceived as architects of growth for their company in 2023?
That is a great question. Get involved in every aspect. Once the strategy is set, there might be a smaller team that we've talked about that puts the core go-to-market strategy together, but get involved in every aspect of that execution. Whether it's inbound, outbound, we call it all bound, ABM, CX, PLG, partner strategy, just follow the money through the execution and don't believe it's not your job to be part of that and have an opinion on how your product suite, if you're responsible for one piece of the product or different elements of the product suite are being kind of carried through those motions. It's your job to make them part of those motions. So be very, I loved Sangram's word from earlier, be very intentional about how you get your product voice into every element of go-to-market execution, because don't wait to be invited to that. You know, put your product forward and be a product thought leader.
Love it. Be intentional about the all bound. I'm going to use that moving forward, Karen. Thank you. In your company's go-to-market strategy, Sangram, can product marketers be architects in 23?
Well, I didn't have a lot of respect for product marketers back in the day, because I didn't really know what they did until I joined Salesforce. And then my eyes were opened that, my goodness, product marketing is actually running the clouds. The sales cloud, marketing cloud, each one of the clouds that we all know for Salesforce was actually run by the product marketing. They owned that and they ran it like it. So I have a whole new understanding and of it after that experience. And in order to do that, I think what they did better than anywhere else I've seen was they really understood the business. I think a lot of product marketing are too much in the words and spending time on finessing it, but they don't understand the business. What are we in the business of? What are we really trying to do over here? Where do I take this forward? So it requires, to what Karen was saying, a proactive way of saying, let me understand the business. Let me understand the customer's business and be able to start creating and positioning around that. very hard job to do. I don't envy anybody's job right now in product marketing. Everybody has their work cut out. But if you do it right, you change the world.
Love it. Understand your customer's business. Understand the ROI of your efforts towards, you know, making the dollars. I appreciate you both for joining us on the Marketect. Sangam, as always, love having you on. Karen, I hope this is the first of a few more to come, and I thoroughly enjoyed meeting you. Thank you for lending your time to the Marketect.
Thank you very much.
Have a good one, folks.
All right. You too.